And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us from the historic Odessa Foundation, Debbie Buxton, its executive director. And welcome back.
Well, thank you so much for having me back.
Well, it's been a while, but the holiday season is upon us, and I don't think you can have a finer time than going to the historic Odessa properties and enjoying the holiday spirit down there.
Oh, Odessa is the perfect place to get into the mood for the holidays. It's always charming. It's a real step back in time. The entire town is decorated. Everybody gets into the swing of things. If you're looking for a new idea for your front door wreath or your Christmas tree, Odessa is the spot to be.
And for anybody who's not familiar, though, with Odessa, let's get started with, now, what is Historic Odessa? And then we'll talk about the foundation.
Historic Odessa itself is an 18th century town that is one of the most pristine colonial townscapes in the state of Delaware. It is just a wonderful jewel that is full of architectural history and actually some of the finest examples of Delaware's architectural history. We are home to a National Historic Landmark, a National Park Service Network to Freedom site. Many of the houses are listed individually on the National Register of Historic Places, and the town itself is a nationally registered historic district. It is truly a beautiful, quaint town that is picture perfect, looks just the way it did in the 18th century.
And that is really extremely rare, isn't it?
I mean, we know
about Williamsburg, but isn't 90% of that? That's rebuild.
It's a recreation, and Odessa is a restoration. The wonderful thing about Odessa is that nothing has really changed there. It was left relatively untouched by any kind of urban development. The area now is rapidly growing, but really for the last 300 years, the area has remained pretty much a quaint agricultural, part of the state. We're lucky because with urban development, a lot of times old buildings are destroyed, and our mission really is historic preservation and protecting and preserving these buildings for all time. They're some of Delaware's most important 18th and early 19th century architecture.
And now, what was the history of Odessa itself? Because now it's out in the middle. It is in a rural area, or it's more of a relaxed suburban type of a feeling. But when its day, it was a hub.
Oh, it was a hub. Actually, the town of Odessa itself was an economic engine for central Delaware. It is it's located in the shortest distance over land between the Delaware River and the Chesapeake Bay. It's only about 6.5 miles from the Delaware River to the head of the Bohemia River. So even before it was settled by the Dutch in the 17th century, it was an Indian trade route, thus the name of our creek, the Apaquinimic Creek, which is an Indian word that means a place where we had to portage, where we carried our canoes. So it was an Indian trade route, early settled by the Dutch, and the Dutch are pushed out pretty quickly by the early 18th century by the English. So it is an established English settlement by about 1730. It became a major wheat shipping port. They shipped 400,000 bushels of wheat out of the little town of Odessa in the 18th century and into the early 19th century. It was also a big peach-producing area, and they're shipping everything from oysters coming up from Baltimore to grain products, other agricultural products, everything that you can think of via the Apaquinimic Creek. It's 1 mile over land and 3 miles by water to the Delaware River. Their wheat was actually a fine red winter wheat that made into a really great pastry flour that was known even in Europe.
Is that where they were shipping to, or was this like a stop along the settled East Coast?
Well, it was both. It was a regular stop, but they were also shipping things and offloading onto ships in Wilmington and Philadelphia that were going abroad. And they had ships coming in from the islands. For instance, we can document that even at this time of year and during the holidays, fresh citrus fruits, bananas, pineapples, things like that were available to the people that lived in the area because they have ships coming in regularly from the islands.
That's absolutely. And so this is a settled place that has, I'm going to guess then, great wealth. The people who mm-hmm. are living at this spot are controlling the shipping, and you're going to have some nice buildings and commerce there besides shipping.
Oh, absolutely. The town was, as I said, an economic hub. And William Corbett, who was one of the wealthiest people that lived in town, who built the Corbett Sharp House in 1774, was the son of a large Quaker landholder in the area. He was a younger son, and so he wasn't in line to inherit property, but was sent to Philadelphia to apprentice as a tanner with a relative of his. He comes back to Odessa and establishes his tannery on the banks of the Appaquinimic River. And tanning in the 18th century is a leading industry in Delaware. You actually had two tanneries within 4 miles of each other, the Corbett Tannery and another tannery that was located just outside of Middletown. So it is on the edge of the Great Cypress Swamp, and cypress plays a role in the tanning process, so it was the perfect location. William Corbett is only 27 years old when he builds the Corbett Sharp House, which today is extraordinary. It's a National Historic Landmark. It is as fine a house as anything you would find in Old City Philadelphia.
Now, you mentioned earlier some of the designations that the houses have received. The historic designation, of course, is vital to something like this.
Right. Well, the recognitions are national recognitions for historic buildings, and they're extremely important. These buildings need to be protected for all time, and when they have these designations, it assists in the protection of them. Actually, the town of Odessa is very active in historic preservation efforts. It has one of the oldest zoning ordinances in the country. It was their first zoning ordinance for a historic area was established in 1963, which was pretty early on. So the town itself, even private homeowners, work very, very hard to preserve and to work within the parameters set by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. So when they're working on their houses and things, there is a historic commission. You have to bring your plans before the commission. And the commission is there to help people make the right choices for important historic architecture. So it's very important.
And historically and politically, Odessa was an important location, right? Revolution, Civil War?
Well, during the Revolution, it was pretty quiet in Odessa. There weren't any major battles fought in the area. I often say that I wish that George Washington had slept in one of our buildings.
You're kidding. But he never got there?
He never got there. We can't lay claim to that. He slept almost everywhere in the original 13 colonies, but he never made it to Odessa. The Civil War, however, Delaware was a border state, and Odessa had a very large free black community, but there were abolitionists that were working in the area, and some very, very important ones. John Hunn, who is a major player in the Underground Railroad movement, lived only a few miles outside of Odessa on the Hunn farm. And actually, Daniel Corbett was assisting also with the Underground Railroad. We know that a farm that he owned just south of Odessa, between Odessa and Smyrna, was a place that was very active with Underground Railroad movement. We are a National Park Service Network Disc Freedom Site because there was a freedom seeker who was hidden in the Corbett House. As the story goes, Mary Corbett, who was Daniel Corbett's wife, was home one day while he was away from the home, and a fugitive approached the house and begged her to give him refuge. She sneaks him into the house and hustles him up to the third floor, hides him in a tiny, tiny little cupboard. But before she gets that done, she hears the front door knocker banging loudly, and she composes herself and says to herself that her heart was beating so loudly in her chest that she feared it would give her away. She makes her way down to the front door, and it's the sheriff. The sheriff is there and tells her that Sam was seen entering the house and that he had to come in and search. And she looked at him and she said, "Well, you can come in and search my house, but you're not bringing those dogs in." So he comes into the house, searches the entire house, doesn't find Sam. And Sam actually spends the night in the cubbyhole, and she puts him on the road to his next stop the next morning. We know this because her daughter gave a little paper to the Wilmington chapter of the Colonial Dames in the early 1920s, relaying this family traditional story to that group. And that's the only reason that we can document Daniel Corbett's involvement in the Underground Railroad. We also know that his name appears in the records in Newcastle County Courthouse. So it's a great story.
Why did the town go to sleep? What happened?
There were several reasons for that. One, there was an agricultural depression in the area. This is before the advent of commercial fertilizers and things. So they saw a depletion of soil. There was also a peach blight that came through Delaware and killed off all the peach trees, which was another major agricultural product. But perhaps the most important reason was the railroad. The railroad bypassed Odessa and went along the western side of Middletown, and it was cheaper and easier to ship by rail. And so it's a slow decline into the early 20th century. But by the early 20th century, Odessa is in very, very bad condition.
When you say bad condition, is it that the houses are empty, or that the people there just don't have, there's no economic base anymore?
There's no economic base anymore, and the buildings are really falling into grave disrepair. And in many cases, the youth moved away, people went to find work, as happens to, you know, towns all up and down the eastern seaboard that had similar economies.
And so then it sits. It sits. What, in 1963, what was the impetus to start being interested in it again?
Well, actually, it happens before 1963. That's after the town's already been preserved. It begins, really, in 1900, when a young man who had just graduated the University of Delaware takes a post as a teacher in the old academy in Odessa. He had a friend that was teaching there, and his friend said, "Why don't you come down and take my post while you figure out what you want to do?" So he does. He teaches school in Odessa from 1900 to 1903. He actually rents a room from Daniel Wheeler Corbett in the Corbett House while he's there. So he actually lives in the house. And he is amazed by the architecture. By this time, the house had been Victorianized. They had improved things, and they'd added on gingerbread porches and arched windows to this wonderful colonial house. But he was able to see through that this was a very important 18th century Georgian mansion. When he leaves Odessa, he goes to Wilmington. He becomes an assistant to Pierre Samuel DuPont. Several years later, he marries his sister, Isabella Matthew DuPont, and his fortunes are made.
That's the way to do it.
In 1938, but he always has this interest in historic preservation and architecture. And by 1938, he is a historic preservationist of some note. He had been involved in multiple projects. The courthouse in Dover, or pardon me, the old Capitol building in Dover, the courthouse in historic Newcastle, many, many historic buildings around the state. The old campus of the University of Delaware was largely the vision of H. Rodney Sharp. So he comes to Odessa to restore a little Friends meeting house, the tiniest little building you've ever seen. Some ladies asked him if he would come down and advise them and actually pay for the restoration, which he agrees to do immediately. It's when he's there that he hears from a descendant of William Corbett that the old family homestead is being put up for sale, and he buys it instantly.
And that starts the whole ball.
And that starts the whole ball. He begins the restoration of the Corbett House in 1938, and by the time he turns that building over to Winterthur Museum in 1958, he had restored 19 properties in the colonial town of Odessa.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley, and if you're just tuning in, we are talking to Debbie Buxton, who is the Executive Director of the Historic Odessa Foundation. If you'd like more information about all of the activities that go on there, how to enjoy this amazing area, go to historicodessa.org. That's historicodessa.org. And if you're just joining us and you'd like to hear this entire conversation, you can find a podcast of it at mix995wjbr.com. Now, let's go into, you just mentioned the 19 properties that Mr. Sharp made sure were done by that time. What does it consist of today? What do you see when you get there?
Today, the Historic Odessa Foundation owns 6 major buildings, over a half a dozen outbuildings, and 72 acres of property in the historic center of Odessa. Our Corbett Sharp House, of course, is our flagship property. It is an extraordinary building, and it's one of the best documented 18th century houses in the Mid-Atlantic. For instance, when you're touring the house, all the buildings are by guided tour. We have an 1818 inventory that tells us what was in each of the rooms. We know how much William Corbett paid for the house, who built it. We have the architect's invoice. So it's a very, very accurate interpretation of the building. And in many cases, we have original furnishings. So when we take you into the parlor of the Corbett House and we tell you that this is the way it was, we can say that with all honesty because we have 95% of the original furnishings in the room. If it's not good enough, on top of that, many of those objects were made in Odessa by artisans and craftsmen. Odessa was also a center for craftsmanship, and Delaware's most prominent cabinet maker, John Janvier, lived and worked in Odessa in the 18th century. One of Delaware's great 18th century clockmakers, Duncan Beard, lived and worked in Odessa. So we have all these extraordinary things that were made in the town and never left the town. It just doesn't happen that way.
So it's an amazing situation. How does somebody enjoy it? What are some of the events that go on throughout the year? And I know that that there are private events that can go on there as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great place. We have fabulous programming throughout the year. You can go to our website and look at our calendar of events. There's something happening every month of the year, March through December. This year, we're really starting to gear up now for our holiday tour, which opened actually last week. And we'll run through the end of December. Our restaurant, Cantwell's Tavern, which is really a wonderful spot to have lunch. And people need to know, too, that when they patronize Cantwell's Tavern, a percentage of the proceeds go towards the historic preservation efforts of the foundation. So that money helps us to preserve and keep these buildings for all time. You can have private parties, special events. We do weddings. We do corporate events, all kinds of things, everything that you can think of. We have lectures. We have special exhibitions. It's just ongoing. It's a great place to come. We have fabulous property. You're welcome to walk our grounds, walk along the Appaquinimic River, enjoy the muskrats and the bluebirds and the wood duck nesting boxes and the wood ducks. And we're also a box turtle habitat. A protected box turtle habitat.
So if a family hears this and in the summer months, for example, do you do tours and school groups? Do you have educational programs, et cetera?
We do. There are family tours. You can come any day of the week and engage in a family tour with children. It's a hands-on activity involved in the tour. So we try not to ever talk at children. We like to involve them. So we're very into family programming. Our school tour program is really terrific. We do about 4,500 school children each year. The program is made up of multiple components that teachers can select from. All of those components meet the state standards for education, and they're all experiential, hands-on, and employ all the senses. When we do open hearth cooking with children, they're actually physically open hearth cooking with an interpreter, a costumed interpreter. We have a tannery component where the kids are making a leather book bag tag and they're talking about the tanning industry and what it must have been like to be an apprentice as a young person learning a trade. We have our David Wilson store where children are assigned identities and they have to go into the store and shop for things that would be essential for their family. And each of those identities occupy a different station in society. So it's a really, really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful school tour. There's ongoing programming for kids year-round. It changes. We do storybook hours at Christmas time. We have a Christmas tea coming up for young children. We do a storybook tree exhibition where families are invited to create a tree. We provide the lights and the tree, and the families select a book to focus on, and they make the decorations. And then the tree is on exhibit in one of our buildings throughout the season. This year, I think we have about 30 trees on exhibit in our Wilson Warner House, which dates to 1769.
Well, you got ahead of me, because I was going to ask about things like, beer festivals and all that other stuff. But now let's dig into the 2018 holiday season. And each year, it is cool that you select a classic book and celebrate it throughout the facilities.
It is. It's really great. It's our tribute to literacy, and we work with our local library in conjunction with their programming for children in literacy. So we've been doing this now for 32 years. We select a different story every year, and we recreate it in one of our buildings, whichever building best suits the theme of the story. This year, it's in our Corbett Sharp House, and the theme is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And a little tidbit which people may not know is that the full title of that book is A Christmas Carol in Prose, Being a Ghost Story of Christmas. That is the full title.
And it's celebrating a huge anniversary.
It is, the 175th anniversary. And it's a wonderful, wonderful exhibit. We cover everything from the ghost of Christmas present to the ghost of Christmas future. You can see Fezziwig's ball. You can see Scrooge's rooms and his canning house, and also the cemetery. So it's pretty exciting. It's a great tour.
And it goes through December 30th.
Through December 30th.
Okay, so now how do we enjoy that?
Well, you can arrive in Odessa for a tour. Tours take about an hour and a half to see everything we have. There are three buildings that are open for tour, plus our visitor center, which currently has a great impressionistic painting exhibition showing throughout the month. So there's lots to do. You can spend a full two hours touring the buildings. Our last three building tour is at 3 o'clock. So in order to see everything, you need to be there before 3. And you can have lunch or, at Cantwell's Tavern or dinner by reservation. It's absolutely, you can just walk in, but it's good to make a reservation there.
Oh, keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Well, I was going to ask, now, you do have, though, evening events as well.
We do. We have candlelight tours. We have candlelight tours throughout the year every Thursday. But during the holiday season, we offer them on Tuesday evenings and Thursday evenings, and they sell out very quickly. You come for a candlelight tour of the holiday exhibit, and then afterwards enjoy a glass of wine and some sweets in front of a roaring fire in our Colin Sharp House, which dates to 1700. So it's charming and lots of fun, and will really put you into the Christmas spirit.
And those tickets, how do you get the tickets for that?
You can purchase the tickets by calling 378-4119, which is our public information number, or you can make reservations online by going to our website, historicodessa.org.
Now, the residents of this area, so you have, the foundation owns 6 of the houses, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of houses in this area. How do the residents get into the season, and how do they enjoy being part of history by living there?
Oh, yes. I think it's very important to the townspeople to engage. They're very supportive of the museum. I think most of them are museum members, and they're very involved. They come to all of our programs. And every year, the Women's Club of Odessa puts on a Christmas tour called Christmas in Odessa. It's not run by the foundation, but we open all of our buildings in conjunction with their tour, which is the first Saturday in December. Tickets for that can be purchased through the Historic Odessa Foundation at our Visitor Center. And I believe the Women's Club also have a website that you can go to if you Google Christmas in Odessa.
And by living there, though, they do have restrictions on their properties.
Yes, mm-hmm. They do. They do, but they love it. I mean, they're buying these buildings. They're living in this town because they have a love of history. It's a special place. It's it's charming. It's mesmerizing. I mean, it just takes you right in. And the people that live there really appreciate that feeling, I think.
Well, when we first started this conversation, you mentioned, well, you come down and you if you want an idea for a table decoration or a wreath or how they can decorate a fence. I mean, everything is just so so charming and fresh looking to this today even. And they do buy into this and support the holiday spirit.
They do. They're very supportive the entire time, even if their house isn't open for the Christmas in Odessa tour, which is only one day, only that single day. It's the only time that you can get into private homes. Not all of them are open. They change from year to year. But even if their house isn't open on that tour, they decorate the outside. They get into the swing. They're really committed, I think, to the museum, to the foundation, and to our historic preservation mission. It's something that the entire town engages in. And really and truly, the historic houses of Odessa were almost lost to the state 13 years ago when the site was closed after operating for 50 years. So the town, it was a reality check for them that, you know, they needed to really step up and protect these buildings and keep them open and work hard to support the foundation.
And the foundation gets its funding through events like the Holiday Festival. What else? How else do people get involved?
Oh, we have all kinds of great programming. We have a fabulous membership program. We encourage people to become members. We have a great Christmas party coming up. And if you are a member at the $125 level, you get two free tickets to that membership party. It's really, really fun. We take over Cantwell's Tavern for an entire evening. And there's everything from tenderloin stations to raw bars. It's just a great, great time. In addition to that, we have other large-scale events which support us. The Odessa Historic Odessa Brew Fest is one of them, which is lots of fun. I mean, this year we had a great time. It was pouring rain, but it didn't stop the crowds, it didn't stop the people, and it didn't stop the fun. We had over 70 breweries from all across the country there. We had music on two stages. It's a real good time.
And all of these events can be found on your website.
They can.
And if I'm a parent hearing this and I'd like to bring the kids, I can figure out how to do it the best way.
Absolutely.
And the same thing if I'm a teacher hearing mm-hmm. this or if I've got a youth group.
Absolutely. We encourage children. We're a museum that really wants families and children. So don't ever be afraid to bring them to Odessa. They are always welcome.
And again, how do we find Odessa? You know what? I didn't think to ask all of that. And parking, et cetera. And again, you said mentioned. I'm going to do a new question for that one. But let me say. And then visiting Odessa, how do we find it?
Odessa is very easy to find. Route 1 South. If you're from Wilmington, just head towards the beaches, and exit at the Middletown exit. And we are about a mile and a half. It's very, very simple. We are just off of Route 13, and we're approximately 24 miles south of Wilmington and about 24 miles north of Dover. You cannot miss us. We're very easy to find. Plenty of on-street parking. Everything that you could possibly, you know, think of, you can find out at our visitor center, which is located at 201 Main Street. We are open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. with our last full tour at 3 o'clock, and we are open on Sundays from 1 until 4:30 with our last full tour at 3 o'clock. We are closed Mondays, and we are closed December 24th and 25th.
And of course, then there are special holiday events. Mm-hmm. And for those, go to the website. And if you go to there, you'll find all the information we talked about today. HistoricOdessa.org. HistoricOdessa.org. You can call them at 302-378-4119. But go to HistoricOdessa.org and you'll find everything right there. And here's where I say thank you to Debbie Buxton. She is the Executive Director of the Historic Odessa Foundation. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you, Laura, for having me. This has been great fun.
It's always great having you back here. So I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.